show, Evan Bray. Great to have you here. I was chatting earlier today about the Eastern Conference Final of the Western Canadian Baseball League. So the Saskatoon Berries tied up the series last night in Regina. So each team, the Red Sox, come into Saskatoon, steal a win. The Berries go to Regina, steal a win. Game now moves to game three tonight. The series will be decided in Saskatoon. Maybe a little prematurely said this morning, my son and I are planning on going to the game. He just texted me. It looks like tickets are sold out. They went on sale at 10 o'clock this morning. Now, you know, last night, 1,700 people were packed into Curry Field to watch the game in Regina. No doubt it is going to be a packed house. So that's his job. I'm working. He's off today. He can find the tickets. Hopefully we get out to that game. It'll be a great baseball game for sure. Well, every month, and the idea of having police leaders on this program predates my time on the show. John Gormley used to every month bring in leaders from the Regina Police Service. I was able to be in that role for the better part of 8 years, bring in the Saskatoon police chief, bring in perhaps the head of the RCMP, and talk about issues, because these issues that are going on in our communities are ones that obviously are felt by those of us that live in the community. And it's a great opportunity for you to ask questions as well. If you have a question of whoever I've got in, whichever police leader I've got in, we always welcome that at 1-877-332-8255. Today, we turn to the Saskatoon Police Service. Now, Chief Cam McBride tied up in some meetings. The Canadian Association of Chiefs of Police have their meetings going on right now. So we have a friend of mine, acting chief and now deputy chief Dale Soley with the Saskatoon Police Service. Dale, officially, let me say congrats on the promotion to deputy.
Oh, thanks very much.
Yeah, it's good.
It's great to be here, Evan.
Good to have you. Good to have you on the show. Thanks for being here. I noticed yesterday a big announcement with the capture of that wanted person that you guys had put out actually a couple of years ago, this Jonathan Ouellette Gendron, 36 years old, wanted by Saskatoon police since May of 22, a suspect in a first-degree murder case. This was a pretty violent case, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, we're super excited that we were able to be a part of the BOLO program to begin with.
Right.
We did extensive work, media stuff, when we first joined or got involved with that, and then really excited that we could be part of that program, too, because there's a criteria to be involved in that. You know, but our officers, major crimes, they put in a ton of work, to find this information and to get to a point where they're in a position to be ready to arrest and charge someone. And then now not knowing where this person went. So, super happy of the outcome. My understanding is he will be returned to Saskatoon, sometime this week, where he'll face the charges.
For sure. Dale Soley is my guest, deputy chief with the Saskatoon Police Service. Four stabbings over the weekend. Were they related at all?
Yeah, no, you know, they weren't. And that's the struggling trend that we end up having, is these seem to be, I'm not going to say random, because
there's a relationship
between the two. So, but as far as them being tied together, no. It is a grave concern for us, because, I mean, obviously the violence is there and it's increasing, and we're seeing that in our numbers. The stabbings themselves are difficult for the victim, the families involved, and for our officers. Those are difficult and take up a lot of time to investigate and do a proper job on them. So,
And you don't want to minimize, like, when you say they're not random in nature. So often, whether it's a familial relationship or some sort of a pre-existing friendship relationship, or sometimes it could be a drug deal gone bad, a party where something breaks out. So you don't want to diminish that. But violent crime, for the most part, is not random in nature in this community, correct?
Yeah. I would certainly agree with that statement for sure, Evan. But for us, I mean, it's a challenge, because we're always looking to try and decrease. How can we, you know, minimize and decrease the impact on society, make society safer? And some of these are just really difficult for us to make an inroad on.
So. Right. You know what? I give police services credit. I feel like police services in Saskatchewan have started doing more of this kind of, I don't want to say show and tell, but here's the items we just seized in a number of warrants. You guys just executed a number of warrants where drugs, vehicles, bear spray, money, guns seized in that case. That was a pretty big operation.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, those ones, we really, and I don't mean to showcase or brag, but it's, I think it's important for the public to know what types of things are available and are in our community. We're not just a small center anymore, right? And we've seen that for a long time. And so that's one of the reasons why we end up showing the types of things that we were seizing through these different investigations.
I noticed there was 4 airsoft guns that were seized. Are those, I mean, I'm guessing used as intimidation props, used during robberies, those types of things?
Yeah, that's exactly what we are seeing. And we'll have different events with those too. To say if the, one of the challenging things with those is to get a concept of the number of them, because there's nothing that you have to register for. Mm-hmm. You can just buy them.
And so they look difficult. So real.
100%. Yeah. They're very authentic.
Would you say, just from a handgun standpoint, airsoft more common than real handguns in Saskatoon, or what would that divide look like?
You know, difficult to say. Just because of the availability of the airsoft, I would speculate that they might be more available and be more out there. But as far as actual numbers, I don't have those right now.
But it absolutely impacts community safety. I mean, these are, you often think about someone who's being robbed, for example, a convenience store clerk who's being robbed at gunpoint. Doesn't matter that it's an airsoft gun. They don't know that at the time, and the trauma that they feel as a result of that is very real. Plus, I'm guessing the reciprocating violence. If there's a drug ripoff that happens with a replica gun, the return volley of fire that might happen in the ensuing days is often very real.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, if the person believes it to be true, it's true, right? Mm-hmm. So, and it's just one of those things that we are working through and trying to get a handle on, I guess.
Anecdotally, and this is maybe a tough question I didn't prep you for, but anecdotally, how many times would the Saskatoon Police Service be charging someone with a firearm offense and they're a legal firearm owner? I don't need the percentage, but is it common that they would be firearm owners, or would it be more common that they're not?
More common that they're not, I would say for sure.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I'm being self-serving in that, but I get super frustrated at some of our federal laws that are aiming to, you know, ban firearms, thinking it's going to solve our firearm problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, what you just said and some of the stories that you've been telling us already in the short time you've been here indicate to me that it's, you know, people that don't follow the law don't follow the law, regardless of what the law is.
Absolutely.
We're chatting today with Dale Soley, who is the deputy chief of the Saskatoon Police Service. He's actually in the acting chief capacity while Chief McBride is away. Gosh, I saw a story late July where there was a kidnapping. 5 people were charged. This is not a common crime.
No, you know, it's not a common crime. We were very fortunate as a police service to take training in this up in Edmonton. They are such a unique crime that we need to have a really structured approach to these, because anything that you do in there certainly is going to impact what happens with that victim / hostage. So, mm-hmm. So like most that you'll see on TV, this was the training that we get, they're a lot similar, is so the hostage will contact a family member or friend or whatever it is and say, this is going on. Someone's going to beat me, whatever the case is, they need some money.
So it was like a ransom, like this was an actual kidnapping.
Yeah, that's
how, for sure. How often are you seeing that? You've been policing for probably 3 decades, I'm guessing.
Yes, yeah.
This isn't common.
Not very common at all. No. Not very common. But in saying that, that was one of the reasons why we took the training, is because although we haven't seen them in Saskatoon, the understanding is that this is getting to be an increasing trend, and we wanted to make sure that we positioned ourselves that we could deal with these situations, because as you can well imagine, very labor intensive, a lot of bodies involved. Mm-hmm. In this particular case, our system that we utilized worked great. Hostage was returned, and as you said, arrests were made. So
yeah, arrests made. I mean, that's great. Great piece of police work. Five people arrested in that case. I saw a text on the line here that is asking. So we were talking about the fairly significant search that was done of, I think it was of three or four homes, seizure of drugs and those types. Do you always release the names of the people charged in those cases? The texter, Tom, is texting in saying, you know, why are the names of the people charged in some of these raids not always released? Most times, would they be if they're adults?
Well, generally, what we'll do is wait until they have their first appearance in court before we release any personal information, because that information is released at the time of docket with the information numbers and everything that. So that's generally the process that we end up using. So.
Right. But once they're charged, that becomes public information.
That's correct. Yeah.
So, I mean, technically, the names could be released prior to going to court. It's an ongoing saga that we seem to talk about. I know Murray Wood, who's my boss here at the radio station, often pushing police for more information, release of names, those types of things. So we talk about it often. Dale Soley is my guest with the Saskatoon Police Service. Bear spray laws. So they just came into effect here in Saskatoon. These are bylaws. I've talked, in fact, when I had Chief McBride on last time, I don't know if they'd officially come into effect. I'm curious to know, it's maybe too early to determine if they're going to make a difference, but are you hearing pushback from people? Are there citizens? Are there people that are retail owners, for example, of retail stores that now have to do a little bit more paperwork when they're selling bear spray that are pushing back on this? What's the feedback been like?
Well, interestingly, very supportive. I shouldn't say interestingly, happily, very supportive. When you say anybody pushing back, we haven't seen that. However, we have had some retailers saying, if I need to do all this, it's not worth my while. So that in itself is for me is a good thing, because if they're not willing to take those steps, for safety for the community, then I'd rather not them deal in that product.
So. Right. Yeah. Well, let's hope it's a step in the right direction. I know speaking with the mayor in Regina, they're keeping an eye on what's going on here and hoping to maybe replicate that as well. Okay. I want to take a break. I do have a text that came in from Dan wanting to know, does the Saskatoon Police Service use drones? And if so, what capacity? Hang on to the answer to that. We'll take a break. We'll be right back with Deputy Chief Dale Soley here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Thanks for joining us. If you are just tuning in, we're chatting with the acting chief of police in the Saskatoon Police Service, Dale Soley, who's a deputy chief by day, but acting chief right now while Chief McBride is away for a conference. So I mentioned we had a text on the text line wanting to know if the Saskatoon Police Service uses drones. I know you do. What capacity are you using them in?
So we use them, several of our specialty units use them. Our collision analyst team will use it to, in order to photograph from aerial view of a collision scene itself. Also our identification section has drones. We also have some other specialty teams that use them as well, and we will utilize them a lot of cases of those other teams is to search spaces that maybe would not be safe to send an officer into.
I remember the case recently where it was used to search an attic.
Right.
Someone
on.
Had broken through the, I think, the whirly bird on the roof into the attic in Saskatoon. It was used in that case.
Yeah, you know, and it's been I'll say a game changer for us, because it puts us in a better position so that we don't have to put our officers in that poor position.
So for sure. It's another tool for sure. So the exhibition just wrapped up. We're hearing great things about attendance was up. The rides on the Midway were up. The question isn't what rides you went on, Deputy. It is how did things go from a safety perspective? Because I know sometimes the exhibition can bring some unwarranted challenges as well. How did it go?
You know, we are really happy with the results so far. I do not believe that we had an incident with weapons on the grounds at all. Mm-hmm. The calls for our service were down. I attribute that to our great working relationship with the exhibition board. They put in a lot of things in place to increase the safety, and you would have seen that upon entering at the gates and everything like that. But, you know, overall, considering the number of people that attended, and I think we're close to 250,000 you mentioned, amazing. It was spanned over 8 days. So very, very happy with the results.
There's a big concert coming up on August 21st. Maybe I shouldn't say big concert. I have no idea how big it's going to be, but it's become a big topic of conversation. It's a very controversial artist. There's been already, we know there will be protesters for and against, rally for, protesters against this conference on the 21st. How does SPS approach that situation, and are you already in planning stages?
Well, for sure. We've been planning. As soon as we hear that there's going to be some kind of contentious issue, we make sure that we are working on the planning. One of the things that we'll do is reach out to the both parties if we can find a leader of those and try and set out some of the ground rules. And they're simple. Protesting is fine. That's part of our constitution, and it's part of what we do. But we need to make sure that we do it safely, because that's our paramount thing. So we're putting as much as we could put in place to ensure the safety of all the participants.
Mm-hmm. And usually it what ends up happening, and my experience has been, if you can make contact with the protest group, as an organization, they're likely willing to abide by the rules. It's the one-offs. It's the people in the group who want to, you know, throw the brick or whatever. Yeah. Those are the ones that cause the problems.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, a lot of these things, because people are very passionate about what they believe. And when those emotions get charged, and then you have that one person, that can all usually facilitate others to get involved.
Right.
And that's where part of our planning comes into play, where we try and mitigate some of those people that may be a little bit, you know, looking to throw that brick or something along that line.
Chatting with Dale Soley, who is Saskatoon Police Services Deputy Chief, getting close to the end. But on the notion of protest, Dale, a different Dale with a text on the text line, doesn't an organization that has a regular protest gathering at the same spot at the same time every week require a permit?
Well, the permitting themselves is a part of the city of Saskatoon's. One of the things that we don't have is a real hammer if they don't apply for a permit. So, and one of the things is protests. We have that freedom to protest. So it's difficult to enforce. You require a permit for this. So it's a difficult situation.
You deal with the laws if they're breaking, like if they're blocking traffic or
something.
Right.
That's
where you would step in.
Yes.
We're almost out of time. We've only got about a minute left, but I always like to touch on crime stats. What are the big pressure points for you here later in the summer?
Well, for sure, our violent crimes are going up, and that's a real concern for us. We've talked a little bit about that. I know we've done some approaches with that. One thing we've done as of late is we've done some enforcement projects in the downtown core. We're still waiting to see the numbers of that, but we're looking to take a little bit more of a balanced approach with the situations that are going down downtown. Rather than, I know in the past, just to sum up quick, in the past we kind of we're looking to put people towards different services for them. Right now we're finding there's no hammer to hold them there. So we wanted to try some enforcement so they can move people towards diversionary programs. But again, it's more of a balanced approach, hold people accountable for their actions. Mm-hmm.